Gather round, parents, players, coaches, and more. Grab your VIP seating. It's time for Youth Sports Now, the only radio show in Rochester dedicated to the excitement, the passion, the development, and well-being of young athletes. From peewee to college athletics, Youth Sports Now brings you expert advice, provides great training tips, and helps prep young athletes for the game and beyond. Youth Sports Now is sponsored by Peak Performance Physical Therapy in East Rochester, helping your young athlete achieve their peak physical performance. And presented by McQuaid Jesuit, the area's only all-boys Catholic college prep school for grades 6 through 12. And by Extreme Sight Performance Clinic, gain the competitive edge with performance vision. And by Elite Performance Baseball and Softball Training Center, learn to play like the pros from the pros. Here's the host of Youth Sports Now, the lifelong Little Leaguer, Greg Camp.
And a happy new year. Welcome to Youth Sports Now. Thank you for that wonderful introduction, Bob Savage. We appreciate it. My name is Greg Camp, and I am the lifelong Little Leaguer and host of Youth Sports Now, the first show of the new year, 2014, and what we hope will be a fantastic year of wonderful youth sports and youth sports information that we can provide to you, your kids, and the coaches and sports administrators who work with them. Hey, a bunch of things just to talk about real quick right off the top of the bat. First of all, it is a new year, so with us in 2014 comes a whole series of new things like free agents in baseball and all sorts of new rules in various sports, including some new rules that are taking place in the youth sports divisions, especially in Little League Baseball, but also in some of the USA Hockey and also some of the soccer programs that take place locally. I encourage you and implore you to go check those out at your league's various websites to find out what any of the new changes are for 2014. It's kind of a sad state, but a true one, when youth sports actually becomes just like the U.S. government, where a new year brings new laws. So I encourage you to check out and find out what those new policies and laws, rules are for the youth sports program that your son or daughter happens to play in. 2014. Well, it's going to be called the Year of the Concussion. And if we didn't think that 2013 was the year of the concussion, with information and somewhat of an overload about sports injuries and the concussions that are taking place, it looks as if 2014 could start out much stronger with that, not only with the amount of concussions being reported, but also the media attention. So it's something we'll certainly pay attention to. You know, if you've listened to us regularly, Dr. Robert Cantu, who is one of the country's leading experts and NFL consultant, has been on the show, and we're working to have him back in a few weeks to talk more about the concussions and give us an update on that. Hey, today, Hall of Fame. The kids who are out there who love baseball, you know, Rochester, we're just a hop, skip, and a jump away from Cooperstown, New York, which is the home of the Hall of Fame. Today, three wonderful players, Frank Thomas and Tom Glavin and Greg Maddux, were announced that they will be inducted into the Hall of Fame on July 27th in Cooperstown. If you have not been to Cooperstown, and doesn't matter if you're a baseball fan, if you haven't been there, you're really missing something. So I encourage you to take that little trip down the New York State Thruway and check out Cooperstown and everything that it can bring. You know, I heard today on another sports program that the question was, is the Hall of Fame a museum or is it a place to praise the accomplishments of a player? And it's interesting because it's both. It is a museum, talking about baseball and showing artifacts, but it is also that Hall of Fame, and we encourage you to check that out. Lastly, we can't go very far without talking about the national championship, the last of the BCS championship that will work this way, as 2014 will bring us a new championship series, I guess. It'll be a little bit more like the NCAA basketball tournament with football, but congratulations to Florida. And, you know, what's remarkable about that is, think about it for a moment. I think we forget that those kids, and I do call them kids intentionally, those kids that played on Monday night in front of all those television cameras and a worldwide audience, that's what they are, is kids. They're college students. And let's never forget the fact that the student should always come before the athlete, in the phrase student athlete. And as we're talking about students and athletes, we've got a good show coming up for you today. We've got a young man who his name is Eric Young. Eric was a high school standout in Texas in soccer, and he also ran track and cross country. And then he moved on to college college scholarship to Southwestern University, where he played soccer and ran track. At soccer, he was a defender and also right midfielder. And Eric is also coached. He's got some Rochester connections because not only has he coached in Georgetown, Texas, but he also worked with Doug Miller soccer, and he coached with him. And now Eric is no longer a soccer player in the sense that he does it for recreation, but he's got some really unique perspectives on how we balance with our children the whole concept of sports and just letting them be kids. And what's great about this is, you know, we've talked to a lot of professional athletes on the show. Eric brings a perspective of a high school and college star who now is in it to coach, but also in it for recreation, and is not in the sport as a professional. So we're going to be talking to Eric, and we'll also, of course, have Mike Naparella with us from Peak Performance Physical Therapy and Sports Training. And make sure you stay tuned all the way to the end of our show today, because I'm going to put out some youth sports New Year's resolutions that I hope all of you will take a listen to. So let's get started. When we come back, we'll have Eric Young, and we'll talk about balancing youth sports and just, well, being a kid.
Youth Sports Now with Greg Kim on WYSL 92.1 FM at 1040 AM, online at WYSL1040.com. We'll be right back. I got some on my phone, new names and numbers
that I don't know, address to places like Abbey. Peak Performance Physical Therapy and Sports Training is Rochester's trusted go-to source for sports performance training, injury prevention, and rehabilitation. Peak Performance, where you will find world-class experts just around the corner from home. Where feeling better, finding confidence, and gaining superior performance are natural. Where traditional one-size-fits-all protocols are defeated by personalized performance plans that are as unique as each athlete. Where you are treated like a professional and are cared for like family. Where evaluation, recovery from injury, return to play, and competitive advantage are in the bag. So whether your athlete is a peewee player, an elite competitor, a seasoned professional, a wannabe weekend warrior, a couch contender, or a still active retiree, Peak Performance is your ticket to exceptional achievement. Make your move. We'll bring out the athlete in you. If Peak Performance is what you want, just ask for us by name. Peak Performance, where you will feel the difference.
Intellectually competent, loving, religious, open to growth, committed to justice. The words used to describe the young men who graduate from McQuaid Jesuit. Educating young men in grades 6 through 12, McQuaid focuses on the entire person, mind, body, and soul. There is a difference at McQuaid Jesuit. Why not find out for yourself? Go to McQuaid.org today to schedule your visit. That's McQuaid.org. McQuaid Jesuit. Live the experience.
I am Little League.
I am Little League!
We are Little League.
I am Little League.
I am Little League.
Sportsmanship, teamwork, character. Little League, big dreams.
Youth sports provide memories for a lifetime, so why not preserve them? TJT Sports Photography offers individual, team, and action photography of your all-stars. Whether you're a parent, league administrator, or school athletic director, visit TJTSportsPhotography.com to see the major league offerings. From peewee through high school, TJT Sports Photography gets the winning shot every time.
Youth Sports Now on WYSL 92.1 FM and 1040 AM.
And that is a soccer song that I think every soccer fan would certainly recognize, a little ole, 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 and certainly a very appropriate song to play into. Welcome back to Youth Sports Now. I am Greg Camp, your host for the show. And, you know, we always talk about the fact that Youth Sports Now exists to talk about the issues that are important that revolve around youth sports and your kids and coaching sports administrators. We've got a pretty unique perspective. You know, we always try and give you a different perspective on youth sports now. And this one, I think, is going to be very interesting to all of you. The American Pediatric Association is reporting that every youth youth athlete age 13 and under should follow the 90-30 rule. What is the 90-30 rule? Well, it's taking 90 days off from youth sports a year and taking 30 of them consecutively at one time, obviously, so that your kids have a chance to rest. What it basically comes down to is balance, and it's part of the job of the parents to do that, but also as the athlete. Joining us on the Youth Sports Now hotline is Eric Young. Eric is someone I was introduced to when he was a very young man, and those of you who listen to the show know that I am not the biggest soccer fan in the world, but due to his father, I became enthralled into soccer, especially World Cup. And Eric was a cross-country track star, but also a soccer star in high school in Texas. Then he moved on to Southwestern University for a soccer scholarship and played there. But he also had the Rochester connection as he worked with Doug Miller soccer training. And he has, I think, some pretty cool perspectives for parents and for young athletes, especially those of you who may be in the high school and college age. Eric, welcome to Youth Sports Now. And let's start things off with, do you miss Rochester and do you miss the cold weather that we're having here?
Oh, I definitely miss it, especially now that I'm in Minnesota.
Well,
you guys have got to be a couple degrees warmer than we are.
Well, we've been watching the news, and of course, Minnesota, you guys have been getting it pretty bad too. So, not necessarily soccer weather, but you know, there's indoor facilities. So, Eric, you know, let's talk a little bit about this. You played soccer in high school, then you went on to play college soccer. And you've also had the opportunity to coach both in Texas, but also in Rochester, where you've coached, you know, the youth of both communities. And right now you're still playing some indoor and outdoor soccer for recreation. When all this started, when you were younger, how important, or were you even conscious of the fact that you needed balance between your sports activities and just being able to be a kid?
Absolutely. You know, when I think about it, I think the best thing about it is I don't remember making a conscious decision. I think I was lucky enough to have parents that really dictated that for me. But at the same time, I do remember feeling overwhelmed, especially in high school when you have high school sports and club sports. And I remember, you know, saying to my mom, hey, I have no desire to do this. And she was like, well, don't do it. And kind of blown away, like, what do you mean? What do you mean, don't do it? Well, take the night off, you know, take some time off. I was like, oh, you can do that? And that really shaped kind of my philosophy, you know, from an early age. And, you know, it's kind of amazing how much effect that had on me that I didn't even realize. In fact, until I became a coach and started to see it from the other side and how important that time off is and how important having a perspective of seeing past, you know, this season, seeing the long-term goals and how to achieve those.
Well, you know, Eric, you've had, you know, your soccer career, both in the coaching ranks, working with youngsters, but also at the college level. You know, knowing some of your background and the games you played and the places that you played soccer at a high level. And, you know, so many times we try and talk about the average athletes and the kids who just do it for the love of the game. And certainly they seem to get, I guess, if you will, a little bit of a break, you know, when they don't want to play or they want to just, you know, be kids. You played at a higher level where there's more competition, there's more expectations from the coaches, more expectations from the leagues. You certainly had recruiters looking at you from the college level. So when you look back on your career, especially making that transition from college or from high school soccer to college soccer, what advice would you give, say, a young man or woman who is being recruited and, hey, they want to play soccer, but they also know that maybe they want to go on to a professional career in another industry like you yourself have done? What would you say to them?
Absolutely. You know, first and foremost, I've always viewed myself as a soccer player. I mean, even now, you know, I work in architecture and I'm trying to become an architect, but I approach day-to-day things like a soccer player. And that decision-making process came from my time in team sports. So that's not to say that I gained all of that by practicing soccer and by being diligent and always working at it. I think the major transition from high school to soccer is, three things that are kind of a little bit more intangible, kind of a maturity, a consistency, and a vision that you're not going to find on the field in any sport necessarily. You know, I mean, when you're at practice and you're with your coach and you're with your teammates, you know, there's this big push for speed and strength and agility and kind of these tangible metrics that, you know, you can put a stopwatch to or a number to. But when it comes down to really separating out the elite athletes, it's the person who has that coachability. And anybody who's a coach kind of knows what I'm talking about. It's the player who sees it right away. You know, you have to tell them once and they do it. You know, they don't necessarily do it the fastest. They don't do it the best, but they know, because they know why you're doing it. And that's what really is going to separate you from the crowd. And what's going to get you there oftentimes is that time away from sports when you're not under an organized, structured system. So in your time off, when you have your summer job, or you're possibly playing another sport or doing whatever it is, spending time with your family, when you're put in these situations that you don't have a plan for and you have to make a difficult decision and find out who you really are, kind of speaking generically, those are the things that are really going to set you apart, that anybody who knows how to play a sport and really knows it well is going to see and really going to notice in a player.
So, Erica, the new thing that's out there, and you know, I know you are. We won't compare ages, because I know that we're from two different generations here. But even when you were playing in college, there wasn't much conversation from the American Pediatric Association. There wasn't much conversation with the medical society. Sports psychology was actually just really starting to flourish when you were at Southwestern with sports. So, you know, looking back now and hearing this news that the American Pediatric Association is now recommending that kids under age 13, well, 13 and under, that they take 90 days a year off from sports, and then they're saying that you need to take 30 consecutively. So when you look at that, you know, they're not saying that you've got to become, you know, the kids have to become couch potatoes and they don't do anything, but they are saying they need to be in a non-training mode. So my question to you is this: you were soccer, but also track. Did you run track and run cross country because it was the sport that you were dedicated to the most, which I know you were far more dedicated to soccer, but did you do that for your exercise and your training ability, or was it just something to do so that you got a break from soccer?
Yeah, believe it or not, I actually did it because it was fun, you know, running 2, 3, 5 miles at a time.
Yeah, well, you and Forrest Gump are about the only ones who think that running 25 miles is fun.
Yeah, you know, it was a stress relief, because there was no expectation, zero expectation. I just happened to be good at it. You know, when I ran track at Southwestern University, I was the track team. There were two other guys that ran, and they were the long distance. They did like steeplechase and whatever, and then I was the track team, and it was bizarre to say the least. You know, one man track team, but. The best part is I got away from my coaches. I got away from my typical soccer friends, and especially in cross country. You know, if you've ever met a cross country runner, they're just bizarre people, and they just think about things a different way. You know, they're kind of like the IT crowd of the office world. If I had to generalize them, they're just weird people. So I mean, getting away from the quote unquote cool soccer crowd and hanging out with the cross country folks was a great experience and a great release and a different perspective. And, you know, half the time these are people that maybe aren't the best athletes, but they're out there and they're sweating their brains out. They're killing themselves. And you ask yourself, why are you doing this? You're not even, you know, good. This isn't fun. You're running. But running is not fun, but they still did it. And it was about the culture, to tell you the truth. I mean, every sport has a culture. And you know, beyond the field or the track or, you know, the cross-country course. And it is what you make of it. And you can still live within that culture and not be part of an organized training schedule.
So do you...
I agree 100% with the 90 days off, 30 days consecutive. You can still live within a culture but not be stressed out by a training schedule.
So, you know, I know your parents were a little bit different than what I would, you know, say most parents, and I always stereotype. I get in trouble for that, but I stereotype the Little League parents. But, you know, your parents were parents which certainly were supportive. They were also competitive. They watched the programs and the leagues that you were in. But now that you've had the opportunity to coach, and also I should say that you are a parent now, so you've got a child. What's going to be kind of your mode of operation when you either have to coach your own child or you have to be sitting on the sidelines watching your kids play soccer or baseball, whatever sport it is? How are you going to combine the things that you learn from your parents, but also you learn from your experiences in high-level elite college to hopefully help your kids and even their friends' parents understand how important balance is?
Well, the first thing I'm not going to do is yell a swear word at the ref when it gets really quiet like my dad. That's probably the first thing I learned. But beyond that, you know, I'm scared to death of coaching my own kids because I like to think that I would hold them to a different standard than everyone else only because they're your kids. You know, you want them to be the best. And either when it comes to watching my kid or coaching my kid, I don't understand yet how that relationship is going to work out because I don't know how my kid is going to react. You know, it's the best kids are somebody else's kids, and you know, coaching somebody else's kids are easy. It's the second the parents get involved is when it gets difficult. You know, kids are simple. They're great. They're easy. It's the parents that get involved. So, I guess I would probably be more conscious of how I would interact with the coach, and I would want to make sure that I'm understanding their goal for, you know, the team, my kid, maybe the club, you know, if it's soccer, baseball, whatever it might be. And then I just want to make sure that there is a vision that's being communicated. You know, the day-to-day to me is a lot less important, you know, how they run practice, how they coach games, how much playing time. I mean, you know, some of that is important, but at the end of the day, it's a lot less important than the communication between, you know, player, coach, parent, and even the club. So I guess that would be my takeaway: is as long as there's a clear communication and there's reasons for decisions being made, I would hope that I would be able to at least understand where everybody's coming from and be able to make a decision from there. Because, I mean, you know, you're gonna run into teams you don't like players and they don't like you and vice versa. And that stuff just happens. That's just the nature of interacting with people. So.
Well, what I can tell you is going into my 24th year of coaching youth sports, you can be a parent on my team anytime because what I can tell you is, you know, it's a lot easier to coach someone else's child than it is your own. I have stories of when I coach my kids and you know, the pain that I felt sometimes for them, and you're always tougher on your own child than you are on the other ones. But speaking of that, you know, how people, the parents are the toughest. Go back to a time, maybe especially in college, but certainly use your high school experiences as well. Go back to a time when you're running up and down that soccer field, which, you know, I think is a little crazy. But anyway, you're running up and down that soccer field. You know, you can hear things. And,
oh, yeah.
You know, when you're hearing, not necessarily your parents, but when you were hearing other parents who were just out of control and screaming and yelling and maybe being, you know, very negative in terms of their comments to their own children. As a player, what goes through your mind, and is that something you're going to think about when you're coaching?
Oh, absolutely. Absolutely. I mean, and another thing to kind of add on to that, you know, there is this background noise of parents and fans that the players do hear, whether or not they react or it affects them is kind of goes to the player's emotional maturity. But there's also a culture on the field. I mean, I remember being on the field multiple times, and I'm marking a guy, and his parents are yelling at him, and he just looks at me, and he's like, God, I wish they would just shut up. And it's like, oh, I feel you, man. I'm sorry. Like, if I could go over there and tell them that, I would. And you know, there's so many things that you hear, you know, and parents just getting set up, and they're yelling insults, and the players on the field are almost like, why are they so worked up? I don't understand, you know. And maybe it is, you know, they don't have a relief like the players in the field do. You know, they're running around working hard. But absolutely, I think, you know, when it comes to a game situation, one of the things I learned as a coach is, you know, the coach and the parents and the sideline can only do so much. It's the players that step out on the field that are going to determine the factor of the game. You know, the coach can make tweaks. He can sub players in and out, you know, depending on the age of the kids. He can make formation changes and strategy changes. But, you know, the second they take that field and the whistle blows, it's the team, it's the players on the field that make the game. So as a parent, I know that if I'm yelling at a kid to do something, I'm going to be doing two things. I'm going to be A, yelling and they're not going to listen, or B, I'm going to probably be contradicting what the coach told them to do. And so at that point in time, no matter what I do, I'm probably doing something wrong. You know, so beyond, you know, cheering them on, and unless the coach specifically asks, you know, hey, can you help me out with this? You know, it's probably pretty useless to say anything and try to make an impact on the game.
Well, you know, those are certainly wise words of wisdom. We are talking to Eric Young from Minnesota, by way of Texas, by way of Rochester, by way of Texas again. Eric was a soccer star in high school in Texas and also went to Southwestern University in Texas. And he's also a new parent and a coach of soccer. He's been doing that, worked here in Rochester with the Doug Miller soccer training camp and so on. Eric, you know, as we kind of wrap things up here for our listeners, you've got this perspective, I think, that is different, and I'd love for you to kind of explain things to our listeners. Every kid who is, say, let's say 13 and under, you know, let's face it, they have dreams. They watch, whether it's the World Cup or whether they watch the World Series or whether it's, you know, whatever sport it is, the Stanley Cup or the PGA Golf Tour. And they have dreams, you know, and those dreams are things that kids just think of on an everyday basis when they're playing their sports, of how cool it would be to play in a World Cup or to play in a Stanley Cup Finals. The fact of the matter is that, you know, less than 1% of those kids are ever going to have a shot at making it pro. So you went in from high school to college and you were in love with this soccer and you played soccer at a high level. But now you're in the architecture business. So what did you learn from playing soccer, especially at the high level? And now it's helping you in your professional field. And again, please tell, you know, our listeners and the kids who are listening, hey, you know, how to use those things once they go into a professional business other than sports.
Absolutely. You know, the best thing you can learn from any sport, I think, is how to make decisions, you know, quickly based on what you know. One of the hardest things to do, especially in the business world, is be decisive, because there's so many factors. And you know, in my case, in the architecture world, I don't consider myself an architect. I understand to a certain degree how buildings go together, but you know, there's so much that needs to be absorbed and needs to be learned. But that doesn't mean that I shouldn't be making decisions, because if you don't make a decision, nothing happens. But you do have to make a decision based on what you know. And you also can't be afraid to fail. The best thing that you can do in sports growing up is lose a game, understand why, and grow from that. And also, you know, the best thing I ever learned from my coach in college was, you know, if you're a freshman, your goal is to make mistakes. You know, if you're a sophomore, you make fewer mistakes. If you're a junior, you're not making that many mistakes. By the time you're a senior, you're solving mistakes. You know, that's your job, is to fix other people's mistakes. And so, you know, you have to have that mentality where at a certain level, I should fail because that means I'm making decisions and I'm making chances. And then as you go, you'll fail less and less, or at least you'll know why you failed and what those factors mean. So, you know, you can apply that to anything and everything in your life, and people respect you for that. You know, hey, you took a chance based on what you knew, you know, so.
Well, lastly, Eric, before we let you go, is the simple question of, you know, when you look now at everything that you know, and you now have a child of your own, and you know, you already said you're frightened of having to coach your own child, but at the same time, I also know that there's got to be a little bit of eagerness and anticipation, you know, when you have that opportunity. Is that something you're going to do? Are you going to take your sports career and your passion for sports, and do you think that you'd actually coach your kids?
Absolutely. I can't wait to get back into coaching, and the reason I don't coach is because I have my own kids, and I wanted to take the time and give it to them. Even if for some reason I end up not coaching my kids, I will get back into coaching, hopefully one of them will play soccer, and I'll have a chance to coach them, because as a coach, I learned way more as a coach than I ever did as a player, and the next challenge would probably be coaching my own kids and learning how to, you know, struggle with that, and so that would just probably make me a better soccer player and a better person, so I look forward to it, but yeah.
Well, Eric Young, who's been joining us from Minnesota and talked to us about his experiences, I think you are a fine, you know, example of the young breed hopefully coming into coaching and getting rid of the old guys like myself. But it's refreshing to hear. And I think, you know, you've provided a wonderful perspective for the listeners, because so many times we talk about the athletes who, you know, either went pro or were going pro. And, you know, Alex Morgan, who I know you know from her World Cup days, and also she plays professional soccer now here in Rochester. You know, she said that the most fun she's had when it comes to playing soccer is the moments that she's had with her teammates and friends off the playing field. So, or what do they call it? The pitch, I guess. Is that,
yeah, that's it?
Okay? Well, see, I learned something. All right. Well, hey, Eric, we really appreciate you being on U Sports Now, and just remember that you brought up the whole issue of your father yelling on a field, not me. So let's make sure that
great.
We get that it's down for good measure. So, Eric Young,
glad
thanks a lot.
On,
good luck to you, and we'll talk to you soon. And when we come back, Mike Naparella and the Peak Performance Physical Therapy segment of our show.
You're listening to Youth Sports Now on WISL 92.1 FM at 1040 AM. If you're webified, get the live stream or the podcast, WISL1040.com.
The voice of liberty. WYSL. You're listening to WYSL1040.com, 92.1 FM, and 1040 AM WYSL Avon Rochester.
Intellectually competent, loving, religious, open to growth, committed to justice. The words used to describe the young men who graduate from McQuaid Jesuit. Educating young men in grades 6 through 12, McQuaid focuses on the entire person, mind, body, and soul. There is a difference at McQuaid Jesuit. Why not find out for yourself? Go to McQuaid.org today to schedule your visit. That's McQuaid.org. McQuaid Jesuit. Live the experience.
Youth sports provide memories for a lifetime, so why not preserve them? TJT Sports Photography offers individual, team, and action photography of your all-stars. Whether you're a parent, league administrator, or school athletic director, visit TJTSportsPhotography.com to see the major league offerings. From peewee through high school, TJT Sports Photography gets the winning shot every time.
I am Little League.
I am Little League.
I am Little League.
We are Little League.
I am Little League.
Sportsmanship, teamwork, character. Little League, big dreams.
Peak Performance Physical Therapy and Sports Training is Rochester's trusted go-to source for sports performance training, injury prevention, and rehabilitation. Peak Performance, where you will find world-class experts just around the corner from your home. Where feeling better, finding confidence, and gaining superior performance are natural. Where traditional one-size-fits-all protocols are defeated by personalized performance plans that are as unique as each athlete. Where you are treated like a professional and are cared for like family. Where evaluation, recovery from injury, return to play, and competitive advantage are in the bag. So whether your athlete is a peewee player, an elite competitor, a seasoned professional, a wannabe weekend warrior, a couch contender, or a still active retiree, Peak Performance is your ticket to exceptional achievement. Make your move. We'll bring out the athlete in you. If Peak Performance is what you want, just ask for us by name. Peak Performance, where you will feel the difference. Call Peak Performance at 218-0240. That's Peak Performance, 218-0240. We'll be expecting you.
Youth Sports Now on WYSL 92.1 FM and 1040 AM.
Youth Sports Now presents Your Peak Performance, topics that support the well-being of your young athlete, presented by Peak Performance Physical Therapy in East Rochester.
And we are back on Youth Sports Now, and yes, it is time for learning about your peak performance, and we're going to hear from our peak performance guy, Mike Naparella. And Mike, first of all, Happy New Year, and are you staying warm?
Here I am. Yeah, Happy New Year to you and the listeners as well. We're really excited about 2014.
Great. You know, we thought we would take this segment of the show tonight to talk to our listeners with the questions that they've asked us or particularly asked you. So we're just going to jump into that because there's a lot of good questions here. I know there's a couple that could probably take us about maybe seven or eight shows, but let's start off with hopefully the easy ones. Here is a question from a listener. My son has a pain in his shoulder that seems to be getting worse. Can you give him a few exercises to help fix that?
You know, I really like that question. Actually, I just had a parent come up to me the other day, in fact, two this past week, with sort of that same question, one about a back and one about a shoulder. And now we've got this question as well. And this parent, for example, we talked for a bit about his daughter's issues, and he ultimately decided to bring her in and saw her the other day and was able to do an evaluation and find some really important things. And I think it ended up illustrating to him and her both why this is a great question, but really important to understand where it's coming from. I think sometimes this sort of mindset that leads to these questions may have to do with we sort of have this background understanding that it's just going to be a quick, easy thing. So we sometimes get in denial, maybe sort of get a little dismissive of the symptoms that someone's having, maybe because we think, well, it's just going to be a quick, easy few things you do. And the challenge is really in the long run, it isn't always so quick. And maybe because of that mindset, we sort of think, well, they're just going to give us a few quick exercises. It'll be easy. And don't we oftentimes ignore all sorts of different medical problems that we have, thinking, well, it'll just be easy. And in the long run, once you see a professional, sometimes some things are easy, but very often it's dug in and ingrained itself and sunk its teeth in, and things got a little bit nastier and involved than we ever intended.
And then we get devastated because, oh, this is going to be tougher than I thought.
Absolutely. And so, number one, it's a great thing to have the athlete be upfront and honest with their parent, and the parent to be quick about this, because really often, Greg, this question's really coming when someone's had 6 months of a problem, year. We've had kids come into the clinic where they've had trouble for years, and their parents are telling us, look, I had no idea they had trouble. They're mm-hmm. almost embarrassed to hear that their kid was in pain for years and they didn't know about it. So I really applaud the person who sent in this question. And in the parents that I talked to just even this past week, and the young athletes that I've seen already just recently over these sort of issues, because it really isn't so simple. And here's the thing. You've got to remember that. Let's take a shoulder, for example. If you come in with a shoulder pain and they think, well, it's just a simple shoulder pain, what are the right few shoulder exercises to do? Well, number one, for those listeners who've heard the show for a while, I think they maybe are beginning to understand, as you so well have, with the questions that you've asked, it's not about your shoulder.
Right.
You know, the problem is that young athlete, let's take a volleyball player, for example, with a shoulder pain. Absolutely. The tissue that took the hit right now is probably, let's say, your rotator cuff or some ligaments that have been stretched out a bit. And you're having some pain, some inflammation in those tissues. But really, we want to go back and not just throw things at the symptoms. You could throw medication at it. You can throw some ice at it. We can put ultrasound on it. You can rub it and massage it and do some things to temporarily make it feel better. But really, don't you want to know why it happened so it doesn't come back? And that's where really where that understanding functional biomechanics comes in. And that's why it's not as simple as, can you just show me a few of the right exercises? I have no idea what the right exercises are for you until I see you. What exercises might be right for your shoulder, Greg, could be the totally wrong exercise to give Bob for his shoulder. So it really takes coming in and getting seen. And for us, that's why we offer that sports injury screen, that quick thing. That's a 15-minute quick screening visit that people can come in for. But also that more full-fledged direct access opportunity in New York State. Most insurance companies will pay for and allow that direct access to physical therapy where they can sort of skip right to the step of being seen by one of us as a musculoskeletal expert, but also cut to the chase of being treated versus just having films, try medicine, rest for a few weeks, and then knowing it's not surgical, end up with us again anyways two or three weeks later. We can just cut to the chase and try and get them treated. And so, you know, this young athlete got in this week and already is starting some things that are going to get her on her way.
Well, you know what strikes me, Mike, is the fact that, you know, parents understand and, in fact, they get quite upset if their son or daughter were to go to a tryout and maybe they only get, you know, 5 minutes in front of the coaches and they don't make the team. And then they understand, well, there's, you know, they didn't have enough evaluation time. Or, well, gee, I was at the tryout, too, and my son or daughter, I don't think, was evaluated appropriately. They get that. But if they hurt their shoulder and the shoulder pain has been there for a long time and you say, well, we need to evaluate it. I can't just give you exercises. Sometimes they don't get that. I mean, to
Greg,
me,
I like your answer better than mine.
Well, it just amazes me sometimes that people, they understand that on the field or on the court in competition, but, you know, golly, this is our kids' bodies and their future. So I think that's I had to throw that out there. So, you know, this next question from a listener, Mike, it's funny. I'm wondering if it's the same person because a person approached me in, of all places, at a restaurant last week and asked me a question. And then suddenly it appeared on our email. So I wonder if this is the same person. But do you always need to be injured to go through physical therapy? Can't you just do it for what they were calling wellness? So, I mean, I think that's a great question. Can you do that?
Yeah, absolutely. Well, certainly the traditional role of physical therapy is for injury care. And in New York State, and all states are different, but in New York State, we're licensed to see people for traditional injury care. And in with what we do at Peak Performance, it's particularly musculoskeletal problems. The New York State law does allow for physical therapists to see people for prevention or for performance enhancement as well. And that's not really thought of as typical fitness, let's say, more like a health club sort of environment. There's numbers of physical therapy clinics. We don't presently do this, but there's numbers of physical therapy clinics that have this post-rehabilitation fitness program. And those things are oftentimes sort of connected or separate businesses than the actual physical therapy business. I guess where this sort of leads me, though, is I really like this question because this person's thinking, can I do it for wellness? And I think they're really pointing the finger at physical therapy and saying, hey, you all are supposed to be the experts in function. You understand how the body works as well or better than anyone in terms of helping us know what's the right exercise to do with that training that you all have. So why can't one of you help me? And sure. I like that question. I think they're really getting to the deeper brass tacks of things, which is they want to make sure they've got quality help. The fitness world has lots of very passionate and dedicated and very skilled people in it. But one of the things that's difficult for the public that we have mentioned in the past, Greg, and whether it's one of the well-known sports training facilities, fitness clinics, the health clubs, the Y's, wherever, different places that offer sports performance training or sports training or fitness or wellness have different criteria for who those people are that are working there. Some of those people may have literal college degrees. I have a dual major with exercise science, exercise science, exercise physiology. Those are sort of degrees that can be a background for becoming a certified national recognized personal trainer, a fitness person. But there's hundreds of what can be fly-by-night sort of mail-order type several hours and take a test certification. And so, boy, everyone and their brother's a certified personal trainer.
Right.
But the real question the public needs to ask is, let me see your curriculum vitae. Let me see your resume. I want to know a little more about what your background is. Plenty of people, number one, have an awesome background as an athlete and then can go on and become really skilled trainers without formal backgrounds. But that's just a little bit more difficult. It's more difficult for the public to assess that. More commonly, it's easy to see someone go through a degree program, have a nationally recognized certification, and there's only several out there. And have those people be your trainer. Now you've got some base level of assurance. Well, when you kick that up a few notches to physical therapy, there's no question. So, yeah, physical therapists don't typically see people for wellness programs and just pure fitness, but I would love to see people, and I would love to encourage this listener themselves, but to see someday where we have encouraged our insurance companies and encouraged our legislators to the point where we said, yeah, we've encouraged you to have a physical with your doctor every year. We've got all these people in the world who, these young athletes who are getting hurt now, getting arthritic, having troubles in the future. Musculoskeletal conditions are actually the number one reason in the United States that people go to their doctor, above all other conditions.
Wow.
Musculoskeletal problems. And that's not all 18-year-olds, right? That's a lot of people who are over those young ages of athletic career. So we'd love to see a point in time where what happens is you have access, whether you're a young athlete or an adult, every single year to go see your physical therapist. Have the experts in musculoskeletal care do an evaluation on you. Try and catch those things. Nip in the bud those early issues that are starting to develop that left untreated, left unaddressed, or left to a generic fitness program over years is going to become and well up into other things later on and affect your participation at work, affect your play, affect your ability to be with your kids, to help your parents.
Sure.
Let's get at those now. And I think this question sort of leads into that idea of why not go in and see your physical therapist, have that evaluation, identify your weak areas, your trouble areas, so that when you do a general fitness program, you know that you've done it with a body that's already been attacked in terms of where your shortcomings are before you just hit it with general fitness things.
Sure. I mean, it seems to me that, you know, and of course you're doing this at Peak Performance with your assessments where, you know, you could, kids, athletes can come in and go through a mini session with you to be assessed. But, you know, in the medical world, you always want to be assessed for whatever condition you have. Now, if we're talking once again about our kids and about the health of and their future, it seems to me that, you know what, if it's a new season for them, whether it be football, baseball, hockey, soccer, it doesn't matter. It's almost like, hey, I'd like to have my kid assessed before they start their training regimen or before they start the season, just to know if we've got any just general biomechanical issues.
Well, those things, as we said before, Greg, are almost always at the core. They're at the foundation for why kids show, young athletes, even college athletes, show what are perceived as shortcomings in technique or limited athletic abilities. Boy, they're not very quick. They don't jump very well. He's not very fast. Boy, she doesn't make the turn very well. And oftentimes the heart of that really is not that they need to be coached more. Sometimes it is, and there's certainly no doubt a role for that. But very often it's they've got physical limitations. They've been doing generic programs. I could tell you, I'm not going to tell you where it is because I don't want to throw anyone under the bus, but there's a local fitness facility that I've been at when I don't come to my clinic to train. I'm just trying to do something that's closer to my house. And I can't tell you how often every time I see someone come in there that looks brand new, the person who's the trainer is taking everybody through bench presses and bicep curls, and everyone's doing the same exercise. You could be 8 years old or 80. It seems like everyone's doing the same thing. And we've got to get beyond that. And I think that that's the real key is what you just said. Everyone deserves their own evaluation. Not everyone is exactly the same. And giving everyone these generic fitness programs, no matter how fun, no matter how creative, no matter how much they make you sweat, no matter how sore they make you the next day that you think that was a great thing, you oftentimes are putting all this darn work in, but you really haven't yet hit your own personal needs. And that's what you were putting your time in for, right? You wanted your life to be better. You wanted to participate more and easier. And sometimes those generic things just aren't doing it.
Well, you know, I know you didn't do this intentionally, but I was going to interrupt you and say, there you go, making me feel guilty again. But, you know, you taught me that. I've never in 23, 4 years of coaching, when I've looked at some players, you know, and I see that they can't go through the drills the appropriate way, and we've talked about this, is that, hey, you know what? It's not that they're not getting it. Maybe they're just incapable of doing it in the way that we're teaching it or the way that we're saying it needs to be done. And that might not have anything to do with you know, comprehension. It could be a physical situation.
Absolutely. And if they do see someone, they come in and see us and we do that exam on them, we might be able to affirm for them, you know what, this is what you've got. You might not need that physical help. You might not need that unique exercise. Now you really are dependent on your coach to coach you technique.
Sure.
Or to help you around those limitations you do have, because we're not going to change them.
Right.
But it makes sense to try and address those specifically, because each of us are different.
Well, I think it's a great advice to get that evaluation. Hey, we've got about a minute left, so let me get to one more question from our listeners. The you know, how many leagues and teams in one sport do you think is too much? You know, we know it's up to parents, but how much can a young 15-year-old boy's body take? You know, what do you think about that?
Boy, and we see this sort of thing all the time, don't we? More and more these days, kids and parents are getting involved in single sports year-round. I think one of our very first shows we talked about that. Let's just start it off this way, and we may want to touch on this one next week as well, but we know that there's some value in your body experiencing different stressors, and having the same exact stress on it all the time can be a challenge. I don't know what the answer for this young 15-year-old boy is, but I can say that there's value in not having the same exact thing over and over and over again be the only stress it sees, both from an injury-producing standpoint, Greg, but also from a performance standpoint, because we get caught up in the monotony of the same thing and drilling over and over to get perfectionist with it, whether it be throwing or batting or whatever. But when that odd movement happens, or a funny jump in the ball, or the athlete makes a weird move, you want to be ready to handle those. And the monotony of doing the same thing all the time can prevent that from being a physical quality you've developed.
Great information. Mike Naparella from Peak Performance Physical Therapy and Sports Training. Hey, we're going to pick some more of this stuff up, especially some repetitive motion sports, next week on U Sports Now. When we come back, I'm going to have some New Year's resolutions for you. Yes, you, the youth sports parent.
One man come and go. One man come here to justify.
Peak Performance Physical Therapy and Sports Training is Rochester's trusted go-to source for sports performance training, injury prevention, and rehabilitation. Peak Performance, where you will find world-class experts just around the corner from home. Where feeling better, finding confidence, and gaining superior performance are natural. Where traditional one-size-fits-all protocols are defeated by personalized performance plans that are as unique as each athlete. Where you are treated like a professional and are cared for like family, where evaluation, recovery from injury, return to play, and competitive advantage are in the bag. So whether your athlete is a peewee player, an elite competitor, a seasoned professional, a wannabe weekend warrior, a couch contender, or a still active retiree, Peak Performance is your ticket to exceptional achievement. Make your move. We'll bring out the athlete in you. If Peak Performance is what you want, just ask for us by name. Peak Performance, where you will feel the difference.
Youth sports provide memories for a lifetime, so why not preserve them? TJT Sports Photography offers individual, team, and action photography of your all-stars. Whether you're a parent, league administrator, or school athletic director, visit TJTSportsPhotography.com to see the major league offerings. From peewee through high school, TJT Sports Photography gets the winning shot every time.
Intellectually competent, loving, religious, open to growth, committed to justice. The words used to describe the young men who graduate from McQuaid Jesuit. Educating young men in grades 6 through 12, McQuaid focuses on the entire person, mind, body, and soul. There is a difference at McQuaid Jesuit. Why not find out for yourself? Go to McQuaid.org today to schedule your visit. That's McQuaid.org. McQuaid Jesuit. Live the experience.
Youth Sports Now on WYSL 92.1 FM and 1040 AM.
Each new year brings us a rebirth, a new start of dreams, of fresh beginnings, and just a fresh outlook on everything we do. Most of us wish for a new year to be better than the last, even if the last was pretty good. And parents are forever hopeful for good health and well-being for their children and, of course, their families. The new year also is a time that we individually and collectively make those silly New Year's resolutions that are probably already broken by now. But, you know, as we move into 2014, I would like to suggest some New Year's resolutions for youth sports parents and encourage all of us to do our best to follow through with them and transition from a resolution to a way of life. The first resolution is that all youth sports parents embody the six principles of good sportsmanship, which are trustworthiness, respect, responsibility, fairness, caring, and good citizenship. Other resolutions include: you will not force your child to participate in sports. You're going to remember that children participate to have fun and that the game is for the youth, not the adults. You'll also inform the coach of any physical disability or ailment that may be affecting the safety of your child or the safety of others. You're going to learn the rules of the game and the policies of the league. Be positive. Be a positive role model for your child and encourage sportsmanship by showing respect and courtesy and by demonstrating positive support for all players, coaches, officials, and spectators at every game, practice, or event. You will not engage in any kind of unsportsmanlike conduct with any official, coach, player, or parent, such as booing or taunting, or refuse to shake hands or use profane language. You will not encourage any behaviors or practices that would endanger the health and well-being of athletes. You're going to teach your child to play by the rules and to resolve conflicts without resorting to hostility or violence. You will demand that your child treat other players, coaches, officials, and spectators with respect, regardless of race, creed, color, sex, or ability. Another resolution for you should be teaching your child that doing one's best is more important than winning, so that your child will never feel defeated by the outcome of a game by his or her performance. Praising your child for completing and competing fairly and trying hard will make your child feel like a winner every time. Never ridicule or yell at your child or other participants for making a mistake or losing a competition. You're going to emphasize skill development and practice, and you're going to work with them to make sure that they understand the benefit of those things over winning, and de-emphasize the games and the competition part, especially in the lower leagues. You will also promote the emotional and physical well-being of athletes ahead of any personal desire that you may have for your child to win or get that college scholarship. You're going to respect the officials and their authority during games and never question, discuss, or confront coaches at the game field. And you're going to take time to speak with coaches at an agreed-upon time and place, otherwise known as the 24-hour rule. And lastly, you're going to demand a sports environment for your child that is free from drugs, tobacco, and alcohol, and refrain from their use at all sporting events. Imagine what a wonderful youth sports world this would be if we all followed these resolutions and made them practices every day. Hey, Happy New Year from Youth Sports Now.
This has been Youth Sports Now, Rochester's only radio show dedicated to the youth athlete, has been brought to you by Peak Performance Physical Therapy in East Rochester, helping your young athlete achieve their peak physical performance, and by McQuaid Jesuit High School, and by TJT Sports Photography. Visit us on Facebook, Twitter, or our website at www.youthsportsnowradio.com.